I have four different scriptures that relate to today's message. And again, I don't have slides, my apologies. I do have one slide for the key verse, actually. But that can go up when I read it at the as the last one. So I'll read through those. I'm going to give you the first one, which is Proverbs 15:3. The eyes of the Lord are everywhere, keeping watch on the wicked and the good. And my second verse is from the New Testament, Matthew 6, verses 2 to 4. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving might be in secret. And then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Later on in Matthew chapter 25, verses 37 to 40, Jesus says, Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and not clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? And the king will reply, Truly, I tell you, whatever you did for the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. And my last verse, which is kind of the key verse of the message, Hebrews chapter 4, verses 13. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. When a pastor gives a sermon, it helps to make it easier to relate to if the pastor includes some kind of personal experience. I will do that, and although since I'm me and you're you, some of it might relate and some of it might not, but it might help. Most sermons don't come to the main point until close to the end. A good communicator has the gift of developing their theme step by step and journeying together with the listener to eventually arrive at the main point. I think I had better lay out the main point at first. That's not because I think I'm a poor speaker, but it's also because this is more of what they would call a topical message than an expository one. I'll take a look at the topic from several different perspectives, and it will kind of help us keep a sense of direction if we know where it is that we're headed while we're doing that. And so these four passages that I've read, they do have a common thread that runs through them all, that being that God sees everything. So God does see all, not just what we see, but what we can't see. And that includes everything that has happened, everything happening now, and everything that will happen. And also, he sees everything that passes through the minds and hearts of every person. I'm going to kind of go sideways just for a quick second here, and it's not personal experience, it's just something that maybe some of us can relate to. I'm going to draw a contrast between this idea of God seeing everything and an idea that was portrayed in a movie. And I do mean contrast because it's like the opposite of what I'm trying to express today. 24 years ago, there was a movie released called The Matrix. At the time, I remember there were a few believers telling me, oh, you know, it mirrors certain Christian themes. I guess it's all in the eye of the beholder. But there was a theme in the film about free will and good winning over evil, but that's not really what I what I saw, and it doesn't really relate to what we're talking about today. What I do remember is that in the movie, there are an extremely large number of people kept in a permanent state of sleep, where each person's conscious experience is actually just an illusion of a life that is fed into their brain by a machine society. This fake experience is generated by a complex computer code that defines every thought and experience that the person is going to be tricked into thinking is reality. The so-called life experience is predetermined by that computer code. And so in the movie, the record of that person's life comes first, and their experience comes as a consequence of it. So that is actually the opposite of what we experience in the real world. Our experience comes first, and then God's memory of it, or God's seeing it, comes as a result of the decisions that we make. Now, of course, when God remembers things and sees things, it's not a heartless collection of code as it was in the movie. It is a person. It is the Lord. He is all-loving, all-seeing, all-forgiving, all-powerful, all-good. He is not limited by time or space. He carries our lives and our thoughts and actions in his heart and his mind. And we know that it is true, partly because Jesus tells us so over and over, and it is implied everywhere throughout the Bible. We also know it's true because we see it in our hearts. We know it. We live it. It's part of who we are. The fact that God sees all and remembers everything that we do and think, this has consequences that spill out into every area of our lives. Chief of which is that it means that everything matters. There are a lot of folks who wonder, well, why does anything matter? Things matter because God sees everything and cares. As Christians, we believe that things matter. It's part and parcel of our faith. Even other religions believe that things matter. Even the people that we meet who don't even think of themselves as believers of any kind believe that things matter. Perhaps on shaky grounds, but they do. And it's not only believers who believe that, but it's a commonly assumed fact of life among almost all people, even if it's not thought through very well. I'm going to offer another perspective, or an analogy, if you will. Look at it from a different angle. When I was a kid in school, I kind of enjoyed math and science. And I think of gravity. It affects everybody. In fact, it's doubtful that life would even be possible without it. But leaving that on the side, nothing would stay where you left it, would it? You'd set it down and it'd drift off. No action can be taken without accounting for the effects of gravity. Astronauts have to go to great lengths to do even the simplest things that we find so easy. But do we consciously think about gravity very often? Once a day? No, not unless it's part of your study as a scientist. But it is always there, keeping everything in its place and providing a platform for daily living. And though we may not consciously think of the fact that God sees everything every day, because it's just kind of an assumed fact, it's the same way. Regardless of whether we think of ourselves as believers or not, we all live as though God is there, seeing and remembering what we do. You ask yourself the question, why do people sit at a red light when there are no other cars around? Why do people hold the door open for strangers? Why do people round up to the next dollar at the drive-thru to support a charity? I could go on and on. There are so many things that we do based on the assumption that what we do matters to somebody that is unseen. In fact, why do people even show basic respect and tolerance? If there is no unseen witness who might hold us accountable or reward us, what logical reason is there to treat people as intrinsically valuable? We have value because we are more than products of nature. The part of us that makes us who we are comes from beyond nature. The Lord made us. As believers, we are familiar with the logic of that connection, but those who don't think of themselves as believers still behave as though there is an unseen witness. So let's consider an example. I'm going to make this up. This is not real. But let's say that an acquaintance of yours, who's not necessarily a believer, goes to Walmart to buy some new curtains. While they're in the store, they also see a phone charger and think, oh, yeah, I remembered I need one for my car. So they pick it up and they go to the self-checkout. It's true that a small percentage of people slip items through the self-checkout without scanning them. But more likely than not, your friend is going to scan everything. Why? Because their conscience won't let them steal. There isn't any practical reason for being as honest as that when nobody's going to see, no one's getting hurt, and no one even gets mildly inconvenienced. Your acquaintance is honest deep down, whether they are aware of it or not. There's a part of their person that knows that God sees. A little bit of personal experience. I happen to know a little something about shoplifting. Long time ago. When I was 6 and 7 years old, my grandmother was a clerk at Grant's. For those of you who don't remember, Grant's was the predominant department store chain in Maine in the 1960s. She actually worked at the lunch counter, if you can remember lunch counters at department stores. So I was at the store a lot. These days, little individual candies are sold in bags, but at that time they were very unwisely displayed loose in big bins that were about that far off the floor. After making sure no eyes were on me, I would slip one or two into my pocket. I was not a very sophisticated crook, and I nearly always got caught by my mother. Every time, she would bring me back to the cashier, make me apologize, and return the candy. Sometimes that even included a ride back to the store in the car. My parents and grandparents did not attend church or even talk about God very much. But they all inherently understood that God knew everything and that he expected us to do right instead of wrong. Anyone who has read C.S. Lewis's book called Mere Christianity might remember that he begins the book by making a case that it's a nearly universal human condition to not only expect everybody to be fair, but that the specific concepts of right and wrong are pretty universal in all cultures. So even though my main topic is not necessarily right and wrong as such, it's really just about God seeing us, the fact that God does see everything is very closely related to right and wrong. They do go hand in glove. Our Creator is our origin, and he is also the origin of the standards that we all use to determine what's fair and what isn't. Some of these standards seem to be good common sense. They just help society function. Even without God to see us, to hold us accountable, most people would be compelled to come up with some agreed upon set of rules just to make life bearable. But I think that there's a reason to think that some of the things that we hold to be virtuous have less to do with good people management and more to do with something that comes from outside of nature. Things like honesty and small things that nobody would know about. Paying attention to our inner thoughts and attitudes and making personal sacrifices to help people in need and deciding to forgive offenses. Society could limp along in relative peace without any of those virtues. Nature doesn't demand them, so where do they come from? We know from God's word and also from our own experience that these kinds of conscious choices get their prompting from a source that is outside of nature. Specifically, it is the Lord, our Creator. I very much appreciate my parents teaching me the importance of honesty. They created conditions in my youth that helped develop my conscience. Now, of course, later when I became a believer, I was able to see the connection between behaving as though God existed and purposely behaving to please God in actuality. After I became a believer, it became a cohesive whole, and it made everything much more rational. A little bit more personal experience, and I might be risking overshare just a little bit, but I hope that it will help tie up some of these abstract ideas in day-to-day life. So you all know how chatty I am. Growing up, I was the quiet, compliant kid at home, and what the other kids thought of as the weak kid at school. Anyway, here's one of the things that I experienced that does seem to be different from most people, so bear with me. So when most people worry, I notice that it's about things that might happen to them. They don't know if they'll happen, but it could happen to them. I find life to be a bit different. I don't worry about external things like storms, accidents, or getting mistreated. It's not because I decided not to worry about them. Believe me, I wish I had that kind of control over them, over my mind. I don't. It's just the way that I'm hardwired. I find that I worry about failing to meet people's needs. In case that sounds like self-praise, just let me say here that there are two sides to that coin, a bright one and a dark one. On the bright side of the coin, it's not an uphill battle to show kindness or even respect and consideration. On the dark side, let's just say that it's seen as a weakness in many people's eyes. If anyone thinks that you're wrong for not being confrontational and aggressive, don't listen to them. Well, the point being, since I am strongly introspective, the space where my mind lives on a daily basis is pretty self-aware, and it is one in which I'm conscious of an account, whereby, if I've been in the wrong with someone, then that results in an overdraft of that account. And I feel driven to correct that overdraft as soon as I can. It's a bad day when I go to bed without making use of an opportunity to make something right with someone. I'm not patting myself on the back. It has its upsides and it definitely has its downsides. And my mind worked that way all my life, even as a child, before becoming a believer. It just meant that I was quiet and my teachers worried about me. After finding the Lord in early high school, I was still quiet. And it was immediately clear to me that instead of talking a lot about the Lord, my style of witness was going to be primarily through actions. Knowing and trusting the Lord has provided a solid rock for me to cling to when I start to worry. Anxiety still comes, but I now have a secure place and a perspective from God's word to assess and resolve my worries. The scripture verses that I chose for this message have less to do with lying and stealing than they have to do with generosity and showing kindness. Self-sacrificial care for others is maybe less universal than being honest, but even so, it's still very common among those who claim not to believe. This shared belief in virtues can be an early point of contact when the Lord starts to draw people to himself. Showing kindness to others without any personal gain, and maybe even with personal sacrifice, is a demonstration of the kind of love that only comes from God. Nature does not produce it. Now, of course, I realize there are those who categorically do not admit any God who might see or any God to whom we might be accountable. True enough. If there is nothing outside of nature, though, or nothing supernatural, if you will, then only nature remains. And in that view of the world, if something is concealed from people, it is concealed utterly. And if there is no witness, there can be no charge of wrongdoing or reward for good, as far as that goes. Someone with that view of the world would decide on a course of action, not based on what's right or wrong, but on whether it advanced their own interests. That thinking leads to loneliness, and it also leads to misery for the others around them. Fortunately, there are not many people who fall into this category, or would at least admit to it. Admitting to it would be pretty unpopular anyway. So going back to the original idea, does God see us? Does he hear us? Does he remember everything we do and think? We've all heard the question about the tree that falls in the forest and there's no one to hear it. Does it make a sound? This morning, I'm going to say that the word sound could mean either a vibration of air molecules propagating away from the crash, or the word sound could mean the perception of noise in a living mind. I think we'd all agree that it is the perception in a living mind that's the important thing. It makes me think of a verse from 1 Corinthians. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. The scripture verses that I read do mention vanity. And when I read those, somehow what pops into my head are vanity plates. Pretty silly, I know, but it did get me thinking. What is the motivation to have a clever message on your license plate? Your friends already know everything you want to tell them. A license plate lets you send a message to strangers. But why? They don't know you, and you don't know them. Probably never will. There's never going to be a response to your message. We do it so that someone will see us. But it's a very fleeting form of seeing. How much better it is to be seen by someone who knows you, who has sacrificed for your benefit, and who has prepared a place for you. And in fact, we and almost everyone we encounter all believe that God sees and remembers everything, or at least we act as though it was the case. We make our decisions believing that there's some kind of record being kept somewhere, a record of all the good things we think and do, and a record of all the good other people do. Life would have no point if it wasn't so. Unfortunately, all through my life, I've been to a lot of funerals. And just like in life, when somebody we know dies, we cling to the belief that life matters, that their life mattered, that it's remembered and carried forward somehow, that all the good was done and it is permanently recorded somewhere safe. What would such a record look like? Well, it is invisible to us. We cannot see it in this world. It would have to consist of a mind capable of remembering an infinite amount of things. It would have to be a mind that would be unfailingly fair and just. And also, because we often fail, it would have to be a person who shows mercy. Well, that sounds a lot like an intelligent, all-knowing, loving, supernatural being. Guess who? Sometimes we might feel there's very little common ground between believers and those unacquainted with our faith in Jesus. In society in recent years, I've noticed a number of times, very often in fact, the bumper stickers, random acts of kindness, very popular thought out there, not necessarily from Christian sources, but it's a good thought. There might be hidden agendas by some of those bumper stickers sometimes, but those sentiments are basically reflections of what God wants. And those sentiments provide fertile common ground with people that we meet. Jesus also said, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for the least of one of these brothers of mine and sisters of mine, you did for me. When God's will is done on earth, it is seen in heaven." Amen.